gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. You are holy. For you are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. For you are holy, holy. There is no one else like you. As for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord, lifting holy hands. We will not bow down to the gods of man. We will worship the God of Israel. For you are holy.
You give life. Praise the Lord. We give God praise for His faithfulness and thank Him for all that He is. He is a good God. We exalt the exalted Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All to the house of the Lord. This wonderful day that the Lord has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. This morning I feel led to read from the devotional Journey into the Promised Land. Today is the 30th of May, and it says, "Set your house in order." Set your house in order. As you hear God and heed His voice, you will be prepared to rise above the world in your finances. God wants you to plan, but also know this: He's able to bless His people regardless of circumstances. He only expects you to plant whatever seed you can into His kingdom. He will multiply your sacrifice back to you far beyond any worldly investment. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. In this end time hour, God is going to explode His financial blessings beyond anything He has ever done before. As you know, as you follow the biblical command to honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, your house will literally overflow with grain, and your vats will be fat with wine and oil, despite what is happening in the world. Praise the Lord. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Exodus 23 and verse 19. If you do your part, God will do His part. Be prepared. Take practical steps regarding your finances. Follow the scripture guidelines for giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. When you step out in faith and begin to act, God will fulfill His promises. Hallelujah. If you are not following God's command, it's time to put your house in order. Make this declaration with me. I am putting my financial house in order today. I will adhere to the Bible-based standard of faith in God and self-reliance, self-control, and living within my means. Amen. This is remarkable. I wasn't planning on reading from this devotional this morning, but as I was approaching, the Lord says, read today's devotional message. And would you know, it lines up perfectly with some of the things that the Lord is leading me to share with you today concerning the covenant. I thank God that He orchestrates everything, and I pray that every one of us has hearing ears. You know, the Lord used to say, let them that have ears hear. I pray that you have ears and you hear in God. Because if you and I ever needed the grace of God in these times, we need it now. May His hand rest upon every one of us and bring us to the fullness that only He can grant us. Be blessed and be highly favored. At this time, Mama is going to come. She's going to share with us. And I'll be back in just a moment. Praise God. While she's coming, be reminded that we have a conference coming up in just 18 days from now. Amen. Praise God.
Good day, everybody.
Good
praise
day.
The Lord. Praise the Lord forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our God reign forevermore. Praise the Lord. Well, hope you're all doing well at home. And God is with you wherever you are right now. You are not alone, and we are not alone. And He's here. Somebody say, God is here with me. And that's all. And that's all you need. You don't need any more. He's present, and He's never going to leave your presence. And since He's there, make sure He doesn't leave without Him touching you today. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Almighty God, for another wonderful day. You've given us opportunity to see. We want to bless your holy name. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your truth, your favor. We thank you, Almighty God, for life. We celebrate the breath of life that is flowing in us even now. We thank you, God, that it is you who put yourself within us. You put your breath into us, and man became a living spirit. Lord, we bless your holy name. We, your people called by your name, we magnify your name. God, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Today is another fresh day that you have made for us. Your mercies are new every morning. This morning, we enter that place of mercy. We receive it, and we stay in it. And we walk in it. And Lord, we thank you, God, that the same mercy was able to heal blind Bartimaeus, because blind Bartimaeus called, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he was healed. Father, let your healing virtue flow to your children at home today as they call upon your name and they call for your mercy, that you will touch every life, those whose family are struggling right now, especially in our world today where people are suffering. There's COVID ravaging some nations, Lord, and some families. Lord, set them free. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Let them be free from that demonic spirit of COVID in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are the healer. You design and desire life for your children, not death and sorrow. So be free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Almighty God, that this morning we will celebrate you. We welcome your Holy Spirit. Welcome the Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We receive that into our hearts, to our home, our city, our nation, ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I have the scripture I wanted to read to us this morning is Joel chapter 3, and then I'm going to read Psalm 146. So let's quickly read. It's, I think, there about maybe 20 or 21 verses in Joel 3. And then the next one is going to be Psalm 146. So I'm going to read from the screen. It says, "For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Read with me when you are home, at home, since there are no physical service here and you're getting it online right now. Take your Bible out and read. The scripture is on the side of the screen, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Verse 4, "Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, I will return your recompense unto your own head. Because you have taken my silver, my gold, and have carried into your temples my godly, pleasant things." Verse 6, "The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto Grecians, that you might remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense unto your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it." Somebody say, praise the Lord. The people who think they have an upper hand against you is only temporary. What they design against your life, the evil they design against your life, is what they are going to reap. You will be free from every bondage. You and your family from every captivity. In the name of Jesus. They will fall into their own pit. Instead of them selling you and selling your children, selling your inheritance, your heritage, decisions are made in nations that are going to affect the future generation of those of the children of the land. But God is going to reverse every evil that they have planned in the name of Jesus. Verse 9, Joel 3, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Are there weak people today? Say, I'm strong. You're capable of fighting whether you want or not. You're in a warfare. Prepare yourself and put on the armor of God, and you will win. God becomes your strength. Somebody say, God is my strength. Verse 11, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about it, that cause the mighty ones to come down. Every mighty one, come down. Come down, O Lord. Come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be weakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." Verse 13, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions." When wickedness is roaming around so much, harvest time for souls in the name of Jesus. The sun and the moon, verse 15 of Joel 3, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars withdraw." I didn't finish 15 yet. "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no more strangers pass through her anymore. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. Hallelujah. And the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. This is a future prophecy. It shall come to pass. Say amen. Shall come to pass. The way things are going shall come to pass soon, speedily. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolation, desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. God, arise and let all the enemies of Israel be scattered, and your enemies. For Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Somebody shout hallelujah. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. May God cleanse every one of us. Cleanse the blood of Israel. Cleanse the blood of Judah. Cleanse the blood of Zion. Cleanse the blood of every family member. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we speedily read that, so when you have your own time, go through the scripture at your own time. All right, Psalm 146. I think there are 10 verses, so. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, while I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Put not your strength in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. So no help is coming from the Son of Man. It looks like they are helping, but that is not your help. God is my help. Somebody say, God is my help. Somebody say, God, help me. Help my family. Help my situation. Help me in everything. That's the person you go to. Verse 4, his breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Say amen. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that there is, which keepeth truth forever. God keeps truth forever. Hallelujah. There is no lie in him, so what he says is what he will do. He's not a covenant breaking God. He doesn't break the vows he make. Whatever he says he will do, he does it. Say amen. No lie in him, so you can trust him. Verse 7, which executed judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners, everyone who's in captivity in you yourself, your family, any member, your business, your career, your ministry, whatever, anyone in captivity, may they be free from that prison today by the hand of the Lord. It's the Lord that will set the prisoner free. Set the prison of minds, people's minds that are in prison, in captivity, people's lives, their finance, their marriage, their future, their destiny, whatever it is, be free from the prison of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm free. Say, Lord, set me free from every prison and from every prisoners. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Verse 8, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raised them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God loves me. So from today on, begin to love righteousness. God loves righteousness. He loves the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Somebody say, Lord, take care of me and my household, and turn every wicked upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even the God, O Zion, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Are you part of all generations? So this God reign in my life. Say, Lord, reign in my life. Reign in my health. Reign in my wealth. Reign in my spiritual life, in my physical life, in my biological life, in my mind realm. Reign, reign, reign. Reign in my spirit. Reign in my soul. Reign in my body. I am the temple of the living God. Lord, reign in our church. Reign in our ministry. Reign in our business. Reign in our city. Reign in our nation. Reign in the situation you are facing. Whatever that situation is that is not giving way, invite the Lord to reign. Let him be the Lord. When the Lord shows up and is in it, that thing's got to move. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. God always commands the light to come out of the darkness. Let there be light, let there be light, let there be light, and let there be breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Lord, reign, reign, reign. The Lord reign. The Lord reign. The Lord reign over my life and every situation. Say that for you and your household. The Lord reign over your children, over your grandchildren, over your spouse, over your marriage, even over your future marriage. In the name of Jesus, let the future come to you now. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, let the future come to me now. There are things you are waiting for that you want to happen many, many days or many months and many years from now. You don't need to wait that long. You can begin to call those things to come to you. Come to me now. In God, they already exist. So tell them to come to you now. Come to you now. If it's your health, heal speedily now. Heal speedily now. You don't need to be waiting forever and ever. They come to you now. If that prayer that you've been praying that you want answers to, you don't need to wait that long. Say, come to me now. Manifest now. Manifest now. Manifest now. The Lord reign. Let him reign over that situation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise that you are reigning. We give you total control and dominion over our lives. And we now rule over the things that rule over us. In Jesus' name. You've given us authority in the all realm. And they must obey this word. The Lord reigns. Reign in me. And reign in every area of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thanks. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Powerful passages. Let us start out this morning by making clear that God needs nothing from us because he has everything. And that whatever it is that he encourages us to do, he encourages us to do it not for his benefit, but for ours. One of the key characteristics of God is that he is a giving God. The word of God says to us in John 3:16, God so loved. And that given aspect of God is fueled by his love. So every given person has to be a loving person. You cannot give truly from the depths of your being without having love. God says to us in Psalm 50, this is a psalm written by Asaph, the psalmist Asaph, and Asaph, the name Asaph means a gatherer. I took note of the passage where Mama was reading from this morning. One of the key things at the very beginning of it was gather. God believes in gathering. It says here in Psalm 50 and verse 5, gather my saints together unto me. Who are these saints? Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. This is the year of the establishment of the covenant of God. And I remember at the beginning of this month, the Lord says this is covenant month. And we're wrapping up our discuss today, talking about a covenant people, and God says that they came into that covenant with him by sacrifice. Gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant. They have made a covenant. They have made a covenant. The word covenant is the word bereth. This is the place of relating with God in a state of promise. God is making a pact with you and I. He says, those who have come into this pact with me, this covenant with me, by sacrifice. That word bereth also means a federation, a confederacy. And basically what God is saying to us is that you've come into this federal relationship with me, this league with me. You are yourself, I am myself. But when we come into covenant, we become one. What I have belongs to you, and what you have belongs to me. We share together. He says, gather my saints together unto me. Bring them. These ones have come into covenant with me, and I want you to notice that word, by sacrifice. They made this covenant with him by sacrifice. Now we know that sacrifice, at the time that the word of God is talking about here, had to do with the offerings of the people. They brought an offering unto God, and in that offering, they were making an exchange. Now, watch this. In verse 6, it says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. This is something I want you and I to grasp. You've heard me say this many times before, but I need to restate it. It is not enough to just drop your offering. You must back that offering with words that come out of your mouth. God says, bring these people that have come into covenant with me. And then he says, and the heavens shall declare. There will be an open heaven. There will be a declaration. of his righteousness, of his truthfulness. He says, check me out concerning your tithe and your offerings, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing. There is an open heaven over those that commune with God with their sacrifice. Why? He says, for God is judge himself. For God is judge himself. Selah. Now, hear this. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Watch this. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. So I'm not going to reprove you concerning your sacrifices and your burnt offerings that should have continually been before me all the time, before me. He says, I'm not going to reprove you about that. But let me say something to you. I will take no bullock. Watch this. I will take no bullock out of thy house. I'm not going to take anything out of your house, nor he goats out of thy folds. I'm not going to take anything. And somebody's saying, wow, God says he's not going to take anything. Praise the Lord. Yeah, keep on celebrating. Let's have a clear understanding. He says, why? Why don't I want anything from you? For every beast of the forest is mine. It's all mine. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills is mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. Whatever it is that you're going to use for sacrifice, it's all mine. And if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything that's in the world is mine. If I were hungry, I would not come to tell you about it. It's all mine. So why don't you want the bullocks and the ram and the goats? And the point is this. I'm not going to take anything from you. Come closer. I'm not going to take anything from you that I've not replaced already. It's not that I need anything from you. No. It's not that I want your money. No. I can do without your money. Just watch, watch. Everything that is created was created, were created by the word of God. Jesus wanted money to pay taxes, and he says to Peter, go cast a hook out there in the sea, and the fish that you see, that you catch, open its mouth, and there's going to be a coin in there. Take that coin and pay all the bills. Wow. You mean God can just supernaturally provide resources? Absolutely. So what is it that is asking of us? When he says, you came and you make covenant with me by your sacrifices. He says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Is that why I'm asking for the sacrifice? Then he says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That is giving. So why is God asking me to do this? And the point is, it's for your benefit. This is how you come into connection and contract with me. You come into a pact with me that your battles become my battles and my battles become your battles, and we are in this together. God is calling us to a greater place, to a more honorable place. It's a place of covenant. So he says, offer it. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Offer it with thanksgiving. Pay thy vows, the commitments that you've made unto the Most High. And then watch this. And call upon me in the day of trouble. He says, then, when you are in trouble, call upon me, and I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. You're going to glorify me. He says, come into this relationship of giving with me, and in the day of trouble, call me, and I'm going to deliver you, and you are going to glorify me. Is everybody called to this? Watch this. But unto the wicked. Remember, Versailles says, gather the saints. Now he says, but unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Who gave you the right to declare my statutes? Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth? You're wicked. I didn't give you the right to that. Sin, thou hatest instruction. Who is the wicked? The one who hates instruction. You don't want to hear the instruction of the Lord. And casted my words behind thee. You just, don't want that. Don't want that. This is, it casts the words of God behind them. In other words, they're not paying attention to the word of God. This is wicked. You don't have a right to this covenant relationship. And every one of us need to determine whether we are the saints that are gathered together to God and have come into covenant relationship with God by sacrifice, or whether we are wicked. He says, when thou sawest a thief, that's a strange word, sawest a thief. That means you saw the thief and you continue to see the thief. Who does God call the thief? The one who robs him in their tithes and their offering. God identifies that as a thief. But the devil is also identified as a thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When thou saw a thief, then thou consentest with him. You came into agreement with the thief. You came into agreement with the liar, the thief being the devil. That's the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Wow. God says, you come into contract with me, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. When you come into agreement with the lies of the devil and you consent with him, you also become a partaker with adulterers. Now, who are adulterers here? This is not about, you know, this man is married to this woman and they start fooling around, therefore he is an adulterer or an adulteress. This is about our relationship with God. You're saying that you belong to God, but you are busy fooling around with the devil's ways. That's adultery in the sight of God. You say you're married to me, you're in covenant with me, that you belong to me, but then you are acting as an adulterer or as an adulteress because you are listening and consenting to the discussions with the devil who tells you not to be a giver, not to be in covenant relationship with God. And then you want to come lay claim to my promises. My promises are not for you. No. You're wicked. So, Pastor, you calling me? No, I'm not calling you wicked. The Word of God says you're wicked. Because you're not listening to the instruction of God. And God doesn't need to come remind you every day, night and day, on what you're called to do. You're just supposed to do what you're called to do as a person of covenant. Or else you've put yourself into that realm of being a partaker with adulterers. Now, what is this point about? He says, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. That means you see somebody who's robbing God and you're in agreement with them. You see somebody who is not honoring God in their relationship and you're in agreement with them. In other words, you are flirting around with people that are not walking uprightly in God. Now, what is this? Is this about non-believers? No, this is not about non-believers. This is about people who say that they are believers. That's why they are called adulterers. Who say they are followers of God and yet are listening to the thief. That's who God is talking about here. The people who do not know God, they don't have a clue about the things of God and how to follow through with that. God is talking about people in church, in the family, that are supposed to know what the right thing is, and he's saying to them, how dare you start claiming my promises? How dare you start saying, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored? How dare you? You don't have a right to that. No, you don't. He says, but I tell you what you need to do. Honor your commitment, and in the day of trouble, you can call on me, and I'm going to deliver you, and you are going to glorify me. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to take any bullet. I'm not taking anything from you. I have more than enough, but it's for your own good. If I were hungry, I wouldn't have told you. The earth is mine, fullness thereof. But what you need to do is offer unto God thanksgiving and do your part. And then it goes on in verse 19. He says, thou givest thy mouth to evil. Giving your mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit. That's an interesting statement. It says, thy tongue frameth deceit, deception. The Word of God says, by his word he frameth the earth, the world. God frames the world, structures the world by the word of faith. But this wicked one gives his mouth to evil. They give their mouth to speaking evil, and their tongue frames that which is deceptive. Why is it deceptive? It seems to be real, but it's not. This is the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, I will liken a wise man to the one who comes, hears my words, and did them. He says, this man built his house on a rock. However, he says, the fool came, heard his words, but did not do them. And when the storm of life came, that house collapsed. It was deceptive. It was not lasting. God wants what you and I to do to last. Praise the Lord. Everything that you do, he wants it to have his life, the everlasting life to it. Not up one day, down the other. No, he wants whatever it is that is framed to be framed by the word of faith that is powered by love. He says, you speaking evil out of your mouth. He says, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. That's what happens. People that are not givers sit down and talk about other people. Yap, 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 yap. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. These things hast thou done. And I kept silent. He says, you've been doing this thing, and I've been very silent about it. I've not said anything, and it looks like I don't see, I don't hear, I don't understand, I don't grasp, and whatever else. He says, you thought that I was altogether such as one as thyself. You thought I was just like you. He says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. That's interesting that the passage Papa set up for today, that the Lord led me to read just a moment ago, was about setting your house in order. And it had to do with our giving. And God is saying to us, I'm going to reprove you and set them in order before thine eyes. I'm going to put things in the proper order. And watch this now. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, consider this. Check what I've been saying to you. Check it out and do the right thing. Lest I tear you in pieces. Pastor, this we're in the days of grace. Now this is grace, right? God telling you and I what we're called to do. So be in partnership with me. Don't think I'm like you. I don't owe nobody. I'm not indebted to nobody. Get that straight. He says, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. No one to deliver. But whoso, whoever it is, that offered praise, glorified me. And to him that ordereth, these are two things, your giving and your speech. He that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. God says, I want to show you my salvation. I want to show you my salvation in every area of your life. I want you to see and experience the salvation of God. You see, in the New Testament, equivalent of that word here will be the word sozo. In the Hebrew is the word yeshaya. Yeshaya declares, God is saying here, will I show the prosperity of God? Those that offer me praise, that glorify me in their commitment to covenant, I am going to show my deliverance, my prosperity, my safety, my liberty, my salvation, my saving grace. Those that order their conversation aright, those who offer praise. You see, praising God here does not just mean singing or saying something nice. Praising God here is honoring God with your sacrifice as a covenant person. He says, then in the day of trouble, you're going to call on me and I'm going to save you. And not only am I going to save you, you are going to glorify me. Praise the Lord. You're going to glorify me. As you relate with God concerning your covenant connection, God says, I got your back. Hallelujah. I have your back. In the book of 2 Kings, actually, before we go to 2 Kings chapter 3, let's look at a passage in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and verse 6. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6, God makes some very striking statements. And it has to do with our giving. He says, in the morning, sow thy seed. Praise the Lord. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. Don't say, I gave already in the morning, I'm not going to give in the evening. I gave last year, I gave a big amount, you know, in April. I'll slow down in May. God says, don't do that. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. Don't hold back. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper, what you sowed in the morning or what you sowed in the evening. You don't know which one is going to prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good, prosperous. God is simply saying to us, I want you to position yourself to receive my manifold blessings in every area of your life. Watch this. In verse 2 of the same passage, actually, let me take it from verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Waters here representing the word of God. Waters here representing that which nourishes. Water here represents that which is the most ancient of all things that we know in the natural realm. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven. That means to give completely. Give everything that you can possibly give. He says, give completely. And also to eight, to a new start, to a new beginning. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. One of the reasons why you give is because you don't know what evil is coming upon the earth. You want to be able to call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble, and he will be there for you. So point is this. God is saying, I don't need anything. You need. You're the one who needs it. And you need to be in covenant with me, because the only thing, the only thing that you can give back to God is your life. And your life ends resources. You say, the work of my life, the work of my hands. The time I gave my life to this company. That means you worked and you earned money from that company. God is saying, I don't need anything from you, but you need to connect to me. How do I put it? The electricity in this building does not need the light. The light needs the electricity. And the electricity can be tapped to manifest this light by this light being connected to the electricity. You get the point? If you want to shine, get plugged in to the power source. So it says, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, and God is calling us to fill the clouds with rain by sowing. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. It will stay exactly where it fell. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. But he that observeth the wind shall not sow. If you're looking, oh, how is the economy? It says, the one who is busy observing the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Oh, it's going to rain. You shouldn't go out there. No. Get out there quick. And bring in the harvest. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. You don't know the way of the Spirit. Nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. You don't know that. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who make it all. You don't know how God does what God does. Don't try to... Use your Pee Wee Herman mindset to figure out God. How is God going to bless me? How is God going to provide for me? He says, don't worry about that. That's my business. What I want you to do is connect with me in covenant with your giving. Just do your part. I'm doing my thing. Just do your part. And then verse 6, we read already. In the morning, so also in the evening. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, whither both shall be alike good. You have no clue. But God knows. God knows every single detail and is well able to provide for you and empower you to succeed in every area of life. Now, let me take you to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3. I'm going to take it from verse 16, but I'm going to read you the story because it's going to be easier for me to read the story out to you than for me to explain it all. It'll be shorter for me, and I need to save some time. 2 Kings chapter 3.
It says, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. You remember Jehoshaphat, right? Jehoshaphat is the one that's surrounded by enemies. And he has a small military force. And he begins to cry out to God and says, God, these guys are trying to kick us out of the inheritance, your inheritance that you've given to our fathers. And begins to cry out to God, and then he got instruction, and the instruction was about setting up a worship team to go ahead of the military force that he had. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, he says, believe in God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And as they began to sing about the mercies of God, the Bible says the enemy turned against each other and they started killing each other until they wiped themselves out. It is this Jehoshaphat who is king of Judah that is called on by Jehoram in 2 Kings chapter 3. And it says, Jehoshaphat had been king for 18 years. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. So he reigned 12 years. So basically, if, verse 1 again, watch this. It says, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign. He began to reign in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. King of Judah, Jehoshaphat has been reigning for 18 years. And now Jehoram is reigning for 12 years, 18 and 12, that's 30. So this is at the 30th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign, that this is happening. Verse 2. And he wrought evil, that's Jehoram, wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father being Ahab, and like his mother being Jezebel. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam. Who is Jeroboam? Jeroboam is a rebel. Jeroboam is the son of Naboth, is the one who split the kingdom of Israel. This is a divisive person. And this divisive person split the 10 kingdoms of the north away from Judah so that and set up a worship center in the north so that the people will not take the sacrifice that belongs to God in Jerusalem down to Jerusalem, the rightful place where the house of God was, where the tithe and the offerings and the sacrifices were going to go to. He says, no, I cannot let the people from here go down there, because if they go down there, then they're going to be loyal to God. So he created his own altars up in the north and began to do his own worship centers out here in the north. So that's the story of Jeroboam, the son of Naboth. Now the Bible goes on. Is it that Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master. Remember sheep? Well, what do you do with sheep? You sacrifice them. Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master. And as a sheep master, he rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs. If you are in India, 1 lakh of lambs. And 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. He said, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not giving you, you know, sheep for sacrifice. I'm not doing it. That's it. I stopped doing that. You stop doing what? You can't do that. You got to give me those 100,000 and 100,000. You got to keep doing it. He says, and the king Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. He numbered all of Israel and found out he didn't have enough. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab had rebelled against me. King of Moab has rebelled against me. That's how you guys did it. You rebelled against the south, and you split the kingdom. Now you want me to come help you? The king of Moab had rebelled against me. Will thou go with me against the Moab, against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. Jehoshaphat is such a nice guy. Easygoing guy. I'll go. Sheep is for sacrifices. And said, I will go up, and I am as thou art. I'm like you. My people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. Problems. This is going to cost. He's making allegiance, an alliance, and a covenant connection with a thief. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. See? When you make an allegiance, a covenant relationship, and say, as your people are, so are we. We're just like you. Consenting with a thief. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. As they're going, they collect another military force, the king of Edom. And the first he compassed 7 days' journey. Seven. That means they were fully committed to this thing. And there was no water. They went through the wilderness. There's no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. There's no water. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord, how did God get into this? This wicked one, who gave you the right to take your word, my words, my covenant words, into your mouth? That's what Psalm 50 says. And the guy is saying here, alas, that the Lord had called these three kings together. He called us. No. You did, Jehoram. You called Jehoshaphat. And now you're putting all the blame on God. You know how people blame God for their own wrong decisions? They make the wrong decision and then they blame God. They're not faithful in honoring God with what God has called them to do in faithfulness, and now they want to lay claim to the promises of God. You're not honoring God with your giving, but when you're in trouble, you want to place faith in the word of God. Now you believe God. It doesn't work that way. I wish I could tell you that it works that way. It doesn't. You only create more problems for yourself. The right thing to do is correct your ways, do the right thing, and then you can call upon the name of the Lord. But something interesting is going to happen in this passage. Something that is very shocking. It says, alas, the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? See, he was still in the God side. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Jehoram, don't you have a prophet? Jehoshaphat, you should know that he doesn't have a prophet. The guy is a worshiper of idols. But thank God for mercy. He says, and one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, the prophet of God, is there, which poured water in the hands of Elijah. Which poured water in the hands of Elijah. What was this? What is the point? What is the point? Why is Elijah here? And why is Elijah being mentioned? Because Elijah was a man who gave his all to follow Elijah, who gave his all. Elijah slew all of his animals as sacrifice. Follow after God. Elisha is told by Elijah, stay in Bethel, and he says, no, I'm sticking with you, man. Stay in Bethel. No, I'm not staying in Gilgal. I'm not staying in Bethel. Okay, you stay here in Jericho. No, I'm not staying in Jericho. Crosses the river Jordan with Elijah to the other side when the chariot came down. And the chariot came down, separates Elijah from Elisha. But Elisha kept his eyes on Elijah. Because Elijah says, if you see me taken up, then you can have what you're looking for, a double portion of my power, of my spirit. This man washed the hands of Elijah. He ministered to him, catered to him, did everything that he needed for this man of God. And Joseph said, the word of the Lord is with him. If he is a man so committed to ministering to Elijah, faithful till the end, then the word of God must be with him. You cannot be receiving the word of the Lord from people who are flaky, who are not committed to the end, to God's vision and to God's purpose. Whatever you invest there will fail. At the end, you look for a place where there is total surrender and total commitment to God. And in that place, God does great and mighty things. Anyway, let's go on. And it says, so the king of Israel and Joseph and the king of Edom went down to him. They went down to where Elisha was. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Remember Psalm 50? How dare you? Well, what have I to do with thee? get thee to the prophets of thy father. Go to the people you've invested yourself in, to your idolatrous stuff. Go there. And to the prophets of thy mothers. Remember those that had the audacity to stand before the man of God, Elijah? God says, the God that answers by fire, let that one be served. And they're busy sacrificing and cutting, and they had lots of sacrifices, bleeding themselves, and nothing happened. When it was late in the evening, Elijah says, okay, you guys are done. You can't get your God to come out from the bathroom. You can't get him to come back from wherever it is he traveled to. Let me show you something. So he restored the altar of God. And what God is calling you and I to do today is restoring the altar. We just finished the spiritual reset conference, and God is calling us to restore our altar, the altar of sacrifice. Restore it. So he put the sacrifice in there. He dug holes, a big trench around the altar. What they were asking for was water. And so what do you think he seeded? He got water that was scarce in the land, and he filled that whole trench, wet the bullock, wet it, and water ran all over that altar, soaked everything, soaked the trench, and that was the seed. That was the seed. What was he looking for? He was looking for water to come down. If the clouds be full, they will empty themselves. So he put water, sowed. That's the one we're talking about. So he says, go to your prophets that couldn't do nothing. You guys are looking for water. Remember, your prophets couldn't do anything. Why don't you go to those people? He says, and the king of Israel said unto him, nay, I'm not going there. For the Lord had called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. You are three kings. You can't even fight one Moab. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I am standing before the Lord, righteous. Surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I will not look toward thee nor see thee. Remember that, those words? Sawest a thief. So I wouldn't have seen you, but I see Jehoshaphat, and because of him, because of who he is. I don't know why he stayed here with you, but he's still an okay guy. He says, bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, watch this, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Dig holes all over the valley. For what? You don't need to know why. Just do it. Create opportunities. You don't worry about that which you sow in the morning or sow in the evening, which one is going to be good. Just do it. As a person of covenant, just do what you're called to do. So they dug all over that valley. Ditches. Digging, digging. They loosened the dirt. And watch this. It says, for thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He says, you shall not see the wind, neither shall ye see rain. You're not going to see rain. You're not going to see wind. There's not going to be clouds or whatever, nothing in the natural to tell you that you're going to get water that you're looking for. Yet that valley shall be filled with water. That valley where you dug all these ditches shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. It's going to be filled with water. And this, watch this, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. A light thing for God to provide this water, to provide this resource that you need so that you don't die. He says, this is just an easy thing for me to do. He will also deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Not only am I going to provide you water, I'm going to hand over the Moabites to you. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones. Ah. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom. Wait a minute. How can water be coming by the way of Edom? They fetched a 7-day compass through the wilderness. Is that what we read earlier? That's exactly what we read. That they fetched a compass 7 days coming through the wilderness . Watch this. It says in verse 8, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of what? Edom. That's the wilderness. And then it says, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no what? Water. There was no water for the host. So why is there water coming out from there now? Because you see, the meat offering, Marazo Shikalaba, where you were looking and didn't see sustenance, God causes things to come out that were hidden. That's what God is doing. Oh my God. Do you understand? that God, that God brings up. He already told you the whole world belongs to me. Edom had no water to sustain them. They've just come through that wilderness, and that's where they were busy crying. And you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, where you thought you had problems, you had no problems. What you did not have was God with you in that trouble. Where God is with you in that situation, you've got everything because you've got God. But many times we measure our giving based on what we think we have or don't have. And God is saying, I can still make your pot of oil keep running. Capish? Be a person of covenant. Just be a person of covenant. And just trust God. There came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And the country was filled with water. And the country was filled with water. What country? We dug holes in the valley. And God saying, you know where you came from? That had no water. Now that you're digging holes over here, I'm busy filling that whole place with water, and the overflow is coming over here. Abarosha katiyala. I am God, and I cannot be limited. Not when your seed is in the ground. Not when you've created opportunities for seed to be sown. You see, when you dig ditches and you make holes all over the place, that's what you do when you want to plant something. The country was filled with water. Let's go on. This is going to really get spicy right here. We're coming. He says, and when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. They stayed in the border, everybody dressed and ready to fight. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Why? All that dirt that had been dug up, those opportunities, now God uses that. And it was like blood from their view. And he said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Why? Why are they thinking that way? Oh, there's a guy called Jehoshaphat. He has had that experience. Do you know that the anointing that you are connected to affects the areas of your life? Smitten one another, now therefore Moab to the spoil. So they come. All they want to come do now is gather the spoil. They're not ready for the battle that's awaiting them. He says, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. They just like the prophetic word said, they penetrated into the Moabite, the land of Moab, and began to slay them there. And the Bible goes on and tells us this. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone, and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees. Only in Kehoshaphat left they the stones thereof. That was the only place they left the stones. And the Bible says, in verse 25, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. They smote the place. They defeated them. They knocked down everything, just like the prophetic word had stated. So, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. Whatever God says is going to happen is what is going to happen. We're getting warm. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. Why is he trying to break through to the king of Edom and not to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, or Jehoram, king of Israel? Because Edom, the king of Edom, did not have a direct relationship with Israel and Judah. Edom is related to Moab. So he's trying to get to this traitor. That's a key statement. He's trying to get through to the traitor, Edom. Anyone who is not following through committedly to the one that they should be in covenant with is a traitor. And the enemy always wants to go after that traitor, whether you are a traitor to him or a traitor to God. Ultimately, he's going to come after you. He says, but he could not. Why not? Israel and Judah were there. Watch this. Then he took his eldest son. He could not break through, so he takes his eldest son. This is the head of the matter. Sacrifice. The sacrifice determines whether you are victorious or not. Whether you can back off your enemy or not. And this king of Moab recognized something. What did he recognize? He recognized the power of sacrifice. He takes his eldest son, the one that should have reigned in his stead, the one that is going to come after him, the one that has been groomed to become king after him, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. Sacrifice his son. And when that happened, the Bible says, and there was great indignation against Israel. Israel had been winning the battle, winning, had its winning ways until somebody superseded them by giving their most precious. My prayer tonight, this morning, this day, and every day is that nobody supersedes you with their sacrifice. Because the way of the enemy, you see, not even God could stop this. God could not stop it. The gravity and the weight of this sacrifice, even though it was an evil act, but the very fact that this sacrifice was that weighty, it gave that sacrifice a glory. So you understand that glory has to do with weightiness. Even though this was evil glory, it was still glory. This man had given his very best. And when he gave his very best, the impact was that wrath, indignation rose up against Israel, and Israel had to leave. You can back up the enemy by the sacrifice. An evil king used it in a negative way to accomplish a purpose. What do you think you can accomplish when you use and you give your very best to God? When you give your very best to God, you become like Abraham. You become like God, who gave his very best. And because of that, backed off the enemy. Today, I call you, I call myself, every one of us, to this place of covenant, Psalm 50 and verse 5 states once again, gather my saints together unto me. And right now, let us all, saints, be gathered together unto him. Saints that have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. Today I release sacrificially to God. What is sacrificial for me may not be for you. What is sacrificial to you may not be sacrificial to me. But God calls us to a place of sacrifice. And he says that place is a place of covenant. God wants to establish his covenant with us. Will you trust him with your sacrificial gift and the continuity of that? Or would you rather look at what you think you know and limit yourself by that? I want nothing from you, God says. And I say the same thing. Whatever God needs, he has in himself. And whatever I need, I have already inside of me. The key factor is about speaking, saying things, believing and making declarations, and things fall in their proper order. The benefit of somebody giving into my life is that they tap into the blessings that God has given to me. The benefit of me sowing into your life is the same. I tap into the manifold blessings God has placed in your life. The benefit of us sowing into God, and that's where ultimately all sowing goes, is that we tap into all of the benefits that are in Him. And that sowing is in our resources, in our finances, in our time. It's in our testament and testimonies of praise, worship, and adoration. Whatever it is that we've got, pouring out that onto God, not knowing how it's going to come back, when it's going to come back, how it's going to come back, what is going to happen, leaving all of that to God, because God is in the business of surprising you and I from places that you thought there was nothing. He says to you, prophesy again. Oh, I went, you know, many years ago. I'll wrap up with this. This young man used to be part of this congregation. I walked to him, I said, the Lord says, your job is in this particular building. Go to that particular place. You've got a job there. I kept on asking him, have you gone yet? Oh, no, Pastor, I've not gone yet. Have you gone? No, I haven't. And then finally, one day he said, I went there and they said they didn't have a job for me. I said, they said they didn't have a job for you? He said, yes, they didn't have any openings. I said, okay. My okay was not, oh, I was wrong, is you need to go there and demand your job. It will show up. It's there. Do you know every time I drive by that building, the Lord keeps on saying, that guy's job is there. And he's still working at some beat down place all these years. This has got to be close to 30 years. He's still doing some useless stuff. Meanwhile, for 30 years, his job is still there. So how do you know? I know because I heard God. When I hear God, I know. And every time I drive by that building, and God says, his job is still there, I say, what a waste. You, child of God, today, understand this. God has it all put together and in order. Psalm 50. In order. It's all put together. All you need to do is step into your destiny, child of God. Trust God. And stop trusting your pocketbook and your mind. Sharp. You know how to manage your whatever you need to manage. God is beyond managing. God is in the realm of supernatural abundance. Dig holes in valley and the country. The country. May God surprise you and I this year. Rise with me wherever you are. Heavenly Father, I have presented exactly what you said to present to your people. I've not held back one thing. I've not left anything unsaid that should be said. I know, God, that you are faithful and that you are true. And I ask, Lord, O God, today, that you will speak to every son and every daughter that needs to be gathered in this place of covenant. And Lord, O God, that you will shower each one with grace beyond measure, that we will, as your people, have amazing testimonies of your provision, of your goodness. And Lord, O God, recognizing, O God, that you are God and that whatever it is that we have all belongs to you. And that when you ask us to do anything, it is not because you are going to gain anything from it, for it all belongs to you, but that we become the ones that gain profit, experience liberty, prosperity, favor, freedom, peace, salvation, victory in every dimension. We step, O God, into this life of destiny, fulfilled in that name that is above every other name, the name of our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you that took time to participate in this service this morning. Share this message with others and those that may not be listening right now that you know of. Let them know to listen to this and to every other message. Keep on sharing. Keep on sharing. And may God's great grace abound towards every one of us to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we share in communion together, I'd like to remind us once again that we have a conference coming up on the 17th of June through the 19th. I'd like for you to watch this particular presentation, get the information on Facebook, when you see it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, just share it to your sphere of influence all around the world so that they too can participate in this particular conference coming up just in about 18 days from now. Let's watch together. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness and his love. This is the body of the Lord. It's been broken for us. As we take of this body and eat, may that which God has purposed be manifested in all of our lives. Take and eat in the name of the Lord.
Covenant children of God, God will show up even where you think impossibilities are. Where there was no water, God made water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's an whatever that thing that you're looking for, God will make it possible.
Amen.
I don't know how he's going to do it, but the solution is coming from him. He's the answer. So as you take of this covenant cup of blessing, may the impossibilities in your life become possible.
Amen.
May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and my God and your God, remember you today and your family.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, I want to encourage you to please honor God with your giving. And as you honor him, speak the word of faith. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out my blessings. He says, God speaks to the heavens. May God speak into your heavens, that it will rain and shower blessings upon your life like never before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done and continue to do. Blessed be your holy name, Father, forever. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His grace will never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Let the great grace of God, faithfulness of God, be demonstrated in every aspect of your life. Remember, you are blessed. Amen. And highly favored.
Yes.
Of the Lord. See you tonight for another wonderful time in the presence of God as we continue our series about our destiny helpers. God bless you.
Bless you.
Love you. Shalom.